The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hello and good morning. Hope you are well this morning. Our text number is 51551. Our email address, john@rte.ie. Now, during the month of November, the Olympia Theatre here in Dublin will play host to the likes of Erasure, Hozier, Robert Plant and Shane Filan. And then, sandwiched in the middle, is one Paul Hollywood.
25 grams.
I'm keeping a strong eye on you. You're up to 22 at the moment.
I'm up to 24.
All right. And
Don't start, Mary. Taking your position.
And these chefs, you know, they always use their hands.
And until the rise and rise of the Great British Bake Off, it might have seemed unlikely that a baker could fill a theatre for two nights, but that's what's going to happen, looks like, in November. Paul Hollywood, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, thank you. And Paul, tell us more about this Get Your Bake On the show.
Well, the whole idea is, it's connected with my book, which is British Baking Live. So the whole idea is for me to do four recipes, which is going to be played out in front of a live audience. There's going to be audience participation. They're going to come up. It's a bit of a laugh, actually, to be honest. But at the end, I'm going to set a challenge for four of the audience members who are going to be invited on the stage. I'll set them a challenge. They've got to copy what I do. And then the winner will go in with a bag full of goodies. But I want it to be a night. It's a bit of a laugh. I've done an earlier one in May, which was fantastic fun for me. A little bit nerve-wracking, but nevertheless, the audience members seem to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about that, because it is a little bit bizarre having a baker on stage and a rapt audience.
Thanks very much for that. It's not that bad. Basically, I've been working with the BBC doing good food shows in, I've done them in Belfast, in Glasgow, Edinburgh, NEC, London, and you're normally in front of 3,000 people plus. And it's quite, you know, we do a demonstration, it's out there. This is slightly different because obviously it becomes a proper tour wrapped up in the whole tour thing. And so it becomes more, I suppose, more... certainly longer. Certainly you look an hour and 45 minutes. But I enjoy it. I really do love it. I love imparting knowledge, and that's the whole premise of the show.
And presumably the audience, when it comes to the audience, it would be predominantly female.
No? Well... ish, yes. It's normally 70-30, something like that, you know. But there was a couple of places I went to which was predominantly, it was about half and half, actually. It was about half and half on a few of them. But there does tend to be a few more women.
Yes. And Paul, you're a very recognisable figure in Britain. How have you been dealing with your newfound fame?
Oh, it's easy enough. I mean, people just stop you on the street and say, give us a recipe for a Victoria sandwich, or give us a recipe for a loaf. No, I don't mind that, you know. You do get a few more people watching your shopping trolley when you're in a supermarket. But generally, it's absolutely fine. Most people just stop you and ask for recipes, or are keen on showing me pictures of their bakes, which is really unusual. I have to judge them from afar.
Yeah, so you feel in a way that you're sort of public property in some ways.
Oh, very much so, yeah. Yeah, it's part and parcel of the deal, really.
And are you taken aback at the success of the Great British Bake Off?
Oh, yeah, hugely. I mean, you don't expect... We started the first series and I think we got up to about 3.5 million. And the last one we peaked at 13.3 million, which was just absolutely huge. But we had no idea that the programme was going to go as viral as it has. And I think it's almost become a national treasure. Well, certainly Mary Berry has.
And what do you put it down to?
I think it comes down to nostalgia. I think it comes down to everyone can relate to a bake in one form or another, whether your grandpa, grandmother, mother or father have baked something when you're a little child. I think it comes back to that. And everybody can bake. That's the thing. Anybody can bake. And the people that turn around and say, oh, I can't bake, it's not can't, it's that they won't bake. If they try, then they'll enjoy it thoroughly. If they go and buy my book, Paul Hollywood's Great British Baking.
Go and buy anything,
get a recipe online and just try it for yourself, and you'll find out how much, you know, you love baking.
It's simple and straightforward, you say.
Absolutely.
Paul, talk to me a bit about the chemistry between yourself and Mary Berry. You've called her, I think, an old bird. And yourself, a bit of rough from Liverpool. Is that the size of it?
I think that's pretty much it. Fat northern bloke and the queen of cakes. Yeah, I mean, our relationship is a very real relationship. We do work a lot outside of Bake Off, doing demonstrations, etc., together. And you know, from in and around London, I'll probably stay over at Mary's. You know, and she looks after me. I'm sort of one of her own. It is this mother son relationship, and it's not something you can kid about on camera. I think it comes across like that, and we have a great working relationship.
And do you get on all the time?
Oh yeah, we have a right laugh. You know, great. I'm like a bouncer. I look after her, you know. Stay in hotels. So, please leave Mary alone. Give her 5 minutes.
I see. Very good. Yeah, don't mess with me. I'm looking after Mary. And it would also be fair to say that you don't go too easy on the contestants, Paul. It's that look. That's my job, though.
I mean, I'm as honest as I can with them. It's always constructive criticism. It's never destructive. Maybe some of my constructive criticism doesn't meet all the edits. You may only hit the harsh notes, but all the bakers will back me up on this. I always explain to them why I don't like it, what they could have done to make it better. But I think in this business, you've got to be, you know, when you're judging baking, you've got to be as honest as you possibly can.
But you were so tough on Nancy this year, the Bake Off winner.
I was tough on everybody. I was tough on Norman. I was tough on Ian. I was tough on, I mean, everybody. I don't just pick out one person. I wasn't particularly tough on anybody individually.
She took to calling you the male judge.
So. Oh, no. And then we found out why at the end of the show.
Remind us.
Because she said she fell in love with me. So she's trying to hide her feelings.
Oh, I see.
I think that was said with a little tongue-in-cheek, but Nancy's a very, very worthy winner. She's a fantastic baker.
Yeah. And what about the bake-off, I suppose you could call it, innuendo? Yourself and Sue Perkins are largely to blame. Poor Mary Berry. You delight in her innocence, or is she only pretending to be innocent?
Well, Mary says it as it is. I mean, she's banged out the innuendo. The thing is, it's not the innuendo that's smutty. It's the people's minds that are smutty.
I see.
When you're trying to describe something which you're feeling with your hands, it's very difficult to convey, you know, in words that doesn't sound like an innuendo. I could make any sentence into an innuendo. So it's not what you say, it's how it's interpreted. And I think it's down to the audience, not us.
All right, okay, blame the audience. Yeah.
That's too right, I do.
When in doubt. Your dad was a baker, Paul. Was it inevitable that you would follow the same path?
Initially, no. I mean, I went to art school for a bit and then I pulled away. My dad pulled me into the industry. And I found out I was good at it. I was all right. I didn't mind getting out of bed in the morning. So, yeah, it sort of fell into my lap. But in the end, it was great in the 80s anyway to get a trade behind you, because jobs were so scarce. You know, if you got a trade, then you were halfway there.
And you took a fairly circuitous route to where you are today, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I was all over the place. I had no idea that media was going to come, because I'm a baker. That's all I am. I'm not, you know, I didn't set out to be an actor or a comedian or to be on stage or to be a presenter. I actually set out to be a baker. So all this extra stuff is something that I had no intention of joining. And so this, therefore, the whole fame side of things is something you have to adjust to fairly quickly.
And is it a big adjustment, a big change you have to make in your life?
You have to, yeah. I mean, it's your sort of privacy's gone. Your anonymity's gone, which is why I like so much riding on my motorbike, put the helmet on, nobody knows me, and I can just enjoy myself.
Yeah, and when it comes to privacy, your own marriage has been the subject of, you know, lurid headlines in some newspapers. That mustn't be easy.
No, but it's part of the course.
Mm-hmm. And just wondering, in the stage shows that you're doing, what are the most common questions that audience members throw at you, Paul?
It's all about the mixes, the consistency of their mixes. Why the cakes drop in the middle? Why my cupcakes pull away from the paper on the side? It's the usual questions, and these are the questions I try and address during the tour.
And you're also a bit of a petrol head, I believe, Paul. A lot of your tweets are about your love of cars.
Yeah, I love cars and motorbikes mainly. Yeah, but yeah, definitely. I've got a couple of bikes I take out. I was in the Isle of Man recently with John McGuinness, who's a 21 times TT champion, and I was fortunate enough to go riding with him, and it was a real experience, you know, great fun.
And what sort of bikes?
The big super sport Ducatis, and they're very light and very quick, very dangerous.
And when it comes to cars?
I've got a nice car.
Have you
four
vintage,
wheels and a seat.
Have you a vintage
great.
One or two?
I haven't got any old ones now, they're quite new. It's quite new.
I wonder, have you been asked to appear on Top Gear yet?
I did. I have done Top Gear live, and I enjoyed that. And I did my laps around with the Stig and trained with the Stig and Jeremy and all that. It was at Birmingham, if I remember. And I came second. I was 0.2 off the top. So I was a little bit upset with myself. I know where I went wrong. That's what I was kicking myself.
I see. And who came first?
I think it was Daniel Craig.
All right, okay.
But he's been trained anyway. He's been trained as a racing driver.
So you're a competitive sort then, I take it.
Very.
Yeah, and you said, I suppose you said you'd made the point, Paul, in the past that baking is therapy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you get into the bakery, the whole thing is about creating something and giving it to the family. And when you bake something, the family come along and really enjoy it. That's the key thing. The smiles on people's faces when they bite into something, when it tastes that good, you just feel fantastic, you know. And that's the whole premise of baking. It's to share, you know. It's very much a family thing.
And tell me, do you bake at home at all, or is it only for stage and TV work?
No, I do bake at home, not as often as I want to, but because ironically I'm baking in the day. But yeah, I do tend to try and come back to baking as often as I can. My son often likes to bake with me. I remember a couple of Saturdays ago he said to me, I said, what do you want to do, son? Saturday, I'm not doing anything, it's rare. Do you want to go go-karting? Do you want to go shopping? What do you want to do? And he says, Dad, can I do some baking with you? And I went, not really a day off for me, son. But we managed to dig out one of my books, Paul Hollywood's British Baking. There was How to Bake. And so the whole thing was getting baking with him. And do you know what? It's one of the best days I had with him. We had a really good laugh. And he learned something at the same time.
Bonding over baking.
Exactly.
Before you go, Paul, would you give us a simple, straightforward recipe, maybe aimed at some of our listeners who wouldn't necessarily be too in the kitchen too often? What would
scone.
A scone. How would we make a scone?
Well, you get a scone, you get a little bit of flour, sugar, butter, baking powder, a little bit of milk, mix that together with an egg. Knock it out, roll it out, cut it, bake it, job done.
You make it sound so easy.
It is.
I might try it myself. Anyway, Paul, thanks for joining us this morning. Just a reminder that your Get Your Bake On show is headed to the Olympia Theatre here in Dublin on the 17th and 18th of November. And you're headed to the Waterfront in Belfast on November the 19th, the following night. And tickets are available on ticketmaster.ie. But happy baking and thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks very much indeed.
Bye now.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.